My name's Jeff Martin. I think I spoke here once before. And my wife and I, who's with me today, Beth, and I get to have two of my daughters with me today, too, Christy and Carrie. And that's always good on Father's Day, isn't it, when your kids show up. So I moved out to Cumberland, I guess, about 4 years ago. And James Henshaw and I think I've already told you all this, but I'll just review it just because your pastor asked me to, all right? We joined up and we formed a nonprofit called Meno Life. And Meno's mission is to help those struggling with addictions, drug and alcohol abuse. And it's a residential kind of ministry. We ask the residents who come into our home there to give a year of their life, which is a pretty big ask, isn't it? But a year of their life to learn how to live in community with one another, to help one another do better, to live the life they've been created by God to live. And we hopefully are teaching some work ethic. We have a sawmill there, and 4 years ago, I didn't know much about trees or sawmills. I'm pretty knowledgeable right now about it. So although James might disagree with you, but so that's what we've been doing the past 4 years. And a year ago, we actually about eight or nine months ago, we finished the house that we've been working on. And for the past 8 months, we've had men living there in the house. And we're doing what we set out to do. So that's kind of exciting. And you all, different ones of you here, you partnered with us along the way. And I just wanted to say that we appreciate that a lot. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Meno as I go along. Also, I just wanted to say it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be able to speak about what God's doing in my life. And to hear what God's doing here with you all, and maybe in the process, we all together, we help one another even do better. Your pastor, Pastor Dane, his wife Marilyn, my wife Beth and I, we've spent some time with them, and they've been a blessing to us. I know this for sure. They have a love for you guys here, and so yeah, I mean. That's not always the case. You can't predict that, can you? But they love you. They talk about you with a lot of joy, and they really are happy that God has placed them here in this place. If that's not true, they're lying to me. So I'm assuming it's true. So and Dane's been a good friend of mine. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but my wife was driving by and saw the sign out and said, "Welcome, Dane and Marilyn Gressett." And I'd known Dane from years back, and I said, there can't be more than one Dane Gressett in Virginia. So I didn't even know. I'd lost touch with him, so I pulled my phone out, and sure enough, I had his number in it. I didn't know if it was any good anymore, and I texted him, and I said, "Are you doing revival meetings at in Cumberland?" And he said, "No, but I'm going to be pastoring a church there in Cumberland." And I went, my goodness, isn't that something? So God has a, be careful how you leave friendships and leave things. You need to leave them in a good way, because God has a way of bringing them back in your life later. And so it's been a blessing to have him and Marilyn here and to pick up old friendships. So why don't we pray, okay? Jesus, thank you for this place. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you're doing here with this group of people. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you invite us into the things that you're all about, the things that you're doing. I pray now that you would give my words something more than what they actually are, that they'd actually speak to different ones here, and that when we leave here today, we'd be better, just better able to follow you and do what you're asking us to do. We pray it in your name. Amen. Your pastor asked me to share just a little bit about if you wanted to partner with Meno, what would that look like? And I was telling Lewis, I said, I love it when God gives us things to do and brings things right into our own backyards. And that's what he's done with us here in Cumberland. He's brought Mino right into the middle of Cumberland. We have some relationship with churches in Amelia, some in Goochland, some in Powhatan, and surrounding counties, Prince Edward. And I like that. I like it when God does things right in the middle. So we're an opportunity, really, for local churches all around this area. If you ever want to do local missions, Mino's volunteering for local missions. So what does that look like? It looks like we have team groups come in who help us bundle firewood. We sell firewood. You'd be working alongside the guys that are living there at the house. But we bundle firewood, our slab wood. We bundle it into little bundles, and we sell it to Bear Creek State Park over here. And this year we just picked up another one, Holiday Lake State Park. They buy our wood as well. And it works out for them because they pay us, and then they charge their campers double. So it works out. And we do it through the Friends Group, which means whatever they make there stays right at that state park. So it stays in Cumberland, or it stays over there in, I guess, Holiday Lakes in Buckingham, maybe. But it stays here. It stays here local. We kind of like that. And so that's one way. Saturdays, if you want a Sunday school class or you want to bring your family over, just let us know. And we'll let you join right in. And we'll bundle firewood for the morning. We'll even give you lunch when it's all done. And we'll leave that day having learned to know one another a little better. So that's one way. You might have some skills. You might know how to run a sawmill. I don't know. But you can come alongside and just work alongside the guys if that's something that you would be interested in doing. And then there's other ways local churches can come alongside, and I'm happy to talk with you. I'm pretty creative when it comes to that kind of thing. So we love our partners. We're only as effective as our partnerships. So talk to me about that. If you want information about it, you can talk to James or Deborah. They know me, and they know how to get in touch with me. Or you can go online. It's just Mino, MENO.life. So I think that's all that Pastor Dane wanted me to do with that. Now what I want to do is I want to talk about a person we are introduced to in Scripture. His name's Peter. So if you got a Bible, open it up. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. While you're turning there, I'm just going to ask the questions that I'm asking myself and I'm going to ask us this morning. Question number one is, has there ever been a time in your life when you've been brought face to face with your own sinfulness and at the same time, Jesus' holiness? That's a question, isn't it? So think about that. Another question, have you ever found yourself just kind of going back to what you know how to do? Going back to what you know. You know, maybe disappointment, discouragement, something didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. And, you know, you just kind of throw your hands up and go, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to go back to what I know. I thought maybe I could be this, but it's not working out. I'm going back. And then number three question, are you aware that Jesus has not changed his mind about you? So just put those questions in your head. And we're going to go through some things. So Luke chapter 5 is a story about Peter, really. And leading up to Luke chapter 5, where we're going to pick up, we're going to pick up in, where are we at? Well, we're going to pick up at verse 1 eventually. But leading up to that, Jesus has begun his ministry. You know, Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story. And then Luke 3, and it begins, and we are introduced to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. He was preaching in that area where Jesus was. And John the Baptist was preaching, and he was asking people to repent. Repent. Turn from your ways. Turn from your sinful ways. Turn to God. And he was baptizing people in water. And one day, he's doing what he's called by God to do. He's preaching, and the crowds are all around him. And someone in the crowd that day is who we know to be Jesus. So Jesus was there, and he comes up to John. He says, I want to be baptized. And John says, I'd rather not. He says, I'd rather you ought to be baptizing me. Because John knew who he was. And Jesus said, no, you need to baptize me. And so John baptizes Jesus in water. Jesus is, comes up and he hears this voice from heaven. I believe it was his heavenly Father. And it says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And it said the Holy Spirit came on him. And then it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus was led out into a desolate place, out into the wilderness. And while in the wilderness, he fasted. And at the end of his fast, Satan came to him and began to test him. And he goes through, he tests him, he tempts him. Jesus refutes what he says with Scripture, and he remains true. And it says he came out of the wilderness. He went into the wilderness filled with the Holy Spirit. It says he came out of the wilderness empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he begins his ministry. And Jesus goes to his hometown, is Nazareth, and he goes into the synagogue, and he begins to teach. And he teaches out of the prophet Isaiah, and everyone is going, this is amazing. You know, how many of you know that if you grow up somewhere and then you begin to talk and speak in a way they're not used to hearing you speak, it isn't always met with, that's awesome. So they said, it was more like, this is amazing. We know him, though. He's a carpenter. Where did he learn how to teach like this? Where did he get this knowledge? And the problem with the sermon that day was Jesus didn't stop when they were all amazed. He kept talking. And by the time he was done, it says they were extremely angry and upset to the point of they got him out of the synagogue and they were mobbing him right on out through the town, up on a hillside to a cliff. And their intention was to simply push him over. That's how Jesus' ministry started. And it says that he, something happened where he said he was able just to walk right through them, and they ended up not doing what they intended that day. And Jesus began to teach and preach. He went to Peter's mother-in-law's. He went to Peter's house who had Peter's mother-in-law in the house, and she had a fever, and Jesus was told about it, and Jesus rebuked the fever, and his mother-in-law was made well. He's preaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. So he's beginning his ministry, and it's growing. More and more people are coming. And in one day, which is where we're going to be here in a second, I guess it was a big enough crowd they couldn't all fit in the little synagogue because he's down by the lake, Lake Gennesaret. And he's there getting ready to teach, and the crowds are pushing in on him. And right there where he's at, it's right where Peter, who was a fisherman, kept his boat and where he fished out of. Jesus sees the boat and he says, hey, you mind if I borrow your boat? And Peter says, that's fine. He pushes the boat out on the water a little bit, and then Jesus is preaching. So I'm going to go, let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. It says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, that being Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we have toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. I love that story. That might be one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And I'm going to tell you why. Can you picture what's happening? Jesus is there by the lake. Simon, he's there washing the nets because he'd been out fishing all night. And what's it say? How many fish did he catch? Zero. You can make a case that Simon might not have been that great of a fisherman. But he was out all night fishing, didn't catch any fish, but his nets were dirty. He had to clean up the boat, clean up the nets. And so he's there doing all that when Jesus comes along. And Jesus is followed by this crowd. He's there. Jesus says, "Can I use one of your boats?" And Simon says, "Okay." So Jesus is teaching, and Simon is over here cleaning the nets. And he's probably listening. I mean, he knows who Jesus is. And he's listening, and Jesus is teaching. And then when Jesus gets done, he looks at Simon, and he says, "Go on out into the deep and let your nets down." This is the way I think it happened. I think Peter, who had been listening to Jesus, was amazed at what Jesus was saying. But what Peter knew was Jesus was a rabbi. He wasn't a fisherman. And I think when the rabbi stepped out of his lane and stepped over here and said, "I think I know a few things about fishing," Peter went, "I don't think you do." Because, see, Jesus was saying, if you go fishing right now, you're going to catch fish. Peter knew, no, you don't catch fish in the afternoon. I know that if I go fishing tonight, I might catch fish. But right now, I know I won't catch fish. And so I think Peter was a little irritated. I think Peter was a little put out that Jesus would presume to know something about what he, Peter, had grown up doing. And so Peter says, to his credit, he goes, "Listen, but since you're asking and since you are the rabbi, I'll do it." But almost like he's saying, "I'll do it, but I'm going to do it under protest. Just want you to know that." And so then they go and they go fishing, and we read what happens. They catch more fish than they can hold. The boat almost begins to sink. And then they come back in. And I don't know about you, but I would have expected that Peter's response would have been, "Man, this is amazing. We're gonna make Jesus a partner. This is going to work well." But what's Peter's response? It says he falls on the ground at Jesus' feet, and he says, "Go away from me. I'm sinful and you're not." And then Jesus says to him, "Peter, get up. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to make you into a fisher of men." And then it says that Peter and those that were with him, they left everything and they followed him. You see, in Jesus' day, there were a lot of different rabbis around. And a rabbi he didn't necessarily call people to follow him. He had people applying to follow him. But you see, the ones that were thinking they could follow a rabbi, they weren't the fishermen. They weren't the carpenters. They weren't the tradesmen. They were the ones that were coming out of college. They were the ones that thought they were smart. And Peter didn't think he was smart. See, Peter would never have thought to apply to be an apprentice or a disciple of a rabbi. But on this day, the rabbi comes to Peter and he says, "Peter, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to follow me. Because, Peter, I think you have what it takes to begin to live the way I live. I think you have what it takes to begin to be my representative and to represent me to others. So, Peter, I want you to follow me." And so, it'd be like Elon Musk or some huge business person coming to me. I'm out here shopping. I bump into them. They look at me and they go, maybe it's Bill Gates or maybe it's some, I don't know who it is. And they look at me and they go, "Jeff, I want you to run all my businesses. I think you have what it takes. I'm going to mentor you, apprentice you, and in a few years, you're going to have what it takes. It's going to be run by you. You can do it." Well, if that's what he thinks, I'm done with Mino. I'm following, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what this guy thinks I can do. So for Peter, it wasn't really a decision. It was like, I'm willing to give up this. Absolutely. If you think I can do what you're doing, if you think I can follow you, I'm all in. And he was all in. Now, he was all in for 3 years. I mean, he was with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He was beside Jesus. He walked alongside Jesus. He worked with Jesus. Jesus taught him how to pray for the sick. He saw the sick healed. He saw people surrender their lives to Christ to want to follow Jesus. For goodness sake, Peter actually walked on water with Jesus. He was doing what Jesus had asked him. He was learning. And he's beginning to believe that maybe, just maybe, Jesus is right. Maybe I am. And one day Jesus is talking to him about what's going to happen, that he's going to have to die. And I think Peter, he's beginning to believe that he actually is a follower of Jesus. He's doing good. And he goes and he pulls Jesus aside and he says, Jesus, don't be such a downer. You're talking about dying out. You don't need to do that. We're going to stand with you. We will fight alongside of you. We're doing it. And then the unthinkable happens. Peter goes to fight for Jesus, and Jesus won't fight. They come, they arrest Jesus. They charge him with charges. He's sentenced to die. And that night, as he's being sentenced, Peter does what he thinks he'll never do. He denies him 3 times. And then Peter, following, he sees Jesus actually executed, crucified on a cross. And he sees him die. It says in Scripture that Peter wept bitterly when he realized what he had done. Now, we know the story. Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back to life. And he appeared to Peter. But still, Peter feels apparently like he's done. Jesus, he called me to follow him. I did. And it turns out that I wasn't any good at it. And then the next time we see Peter, it's in John 21. What's Peter doing? He's doing what he knew how to do. He's fishing. Or he's doing what he thought he knew how to do. Because he's fishing again. And he's fishing all night. And there's a man that walks up on the beach. And he looks out and he sees them there. And he yells out there and he says, hey, have you caught any fish? They say, no, hadn't caught any fish. And then he says, put your net out on the other side of the boat. And they do. And they catch a huge amount of fish. John looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. And Peter throws everything off and he goes swimming to shore. And when he gets to shore, there's this amazing conversation that happens. You see, Jesus is there. He has a fire going. He has fish on the fire. And he says, come here, sit down. Let's have some breakfast. See, I love that because we get following Jesus. We turn it into some big kind of thing that it's just normal life, folks. It's just following Jesus. And Jesus says, sit down, let's have some breakfast. And they must have just sat there and did small talk or whatever they were doing, because it says after breakfast was over, then Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, he says, do you love me? You're familiar with that, right? You've heard that story before. And Peter says, yes, I love you. You know, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Tend my flock. Peter, do you love me? And it says the third time, Peter, he's like, yes, I love you. And then Jesus says some things to him. And Jesus ends up his words to Peter with these two words. He says, follow me. I don't know if that touches your heart or not, but Peter thought he had failed miserably at following him. But from Jesus' viewpoint, Peter was just getting started. And so I hear that, I read that, and I go, what is it that we're called by God to do, by Jesus to do? Well, I would say you're called, each one of us are called to follow him. Follow him. That's it. Follow Jesus. There was a time, it must have been 10 years ago, because I found it recently, and I was talking to somebody about it, and they said, I remember you preaching on that, on this, 10 years ago. And here's what I wrote. And this is my reflection. I keep a prayer journal, and when I sometimes things will kind of strike me as interesting, I'll write them out. And I wrote this out as if it were a conversation between me and Jesus. And so Jesus, he says, Jeff, do again today what you did yesterday without success. Because I was reading about Peter, and he had been fishing that night without success. And Jesus says, well, do again what you just did. And so I felt like the Lord, I was saying, Jesus is saying, Jeff, do again today what you did yesterday without success. I'm serious, Jeff, do it again. My response, Jesus, why are you asking me to do again today what didn't work yesterday? Why would today be any different from yesterday? It won't be. Each day is the same. I do what I can. It's never enough, so I'm through. No, really, I'm done. Jesus says, Jeff, I understand. So, anyway, will you do again today what you did yesterday? With no success. And I respond with, are you serious? Sure, I can do it again today, but are you aware of everything I need to do in order to get everything ready again? Peter had all the nets cleaned up, and now Jesus was asking him to get them all dirty again. Jesus responds to me, I know. So, what will it be? Will you do again today what you did yesterday with no success? My response, okay, I will. But let the record show I'm doing it under protest. Jesus responds to me, that's awesome, Jeff. Let's go do it then. Your protest is duly noted and on the record. And you see, I was working through that thinking, and what I realized is that above scenario happens over and over in my life. You'd think I'd have learned by now that a let's do it again from Jesus is always a good idea. Yet I get hung up on what I know to be true. I get offended when anyone, including Jesus, seems to know more than I about my specialized field of study, which is me. I know everything about me. Yet somehow in the end, I do what I don't want to do. I do it again one more time under protest. I repent again for the thing I can't seem to stop doing. I forgive a friend again, knowing it won't be the last. I show up again for work, for a friend, for a spouse, for a son or a daughter, all under protest, confident that this will be no different. This probably won't be any different than any of the other times. And yet Jesus asked me to do it over and over again. Do what I did yesterday, today. And when I do, what I believe is Jesus smiles because he knows what I don't know. Because see, every once in a while, when I do again what I did yesterday that didn't seem to work, every once in a while, it does. Jesus comes and he inserts himself into the middle of it. He puts his arms around me, he smiles, and what I never saw coming happens. Maybe following Jesus well has more to do with cultivating a practiced way of life where doing it again is the rule rather than the exception. When I do again at Jesus' invite, I move into places of brokenness, humility, my sin exposed, my neediness exposed, and I also get to experience resurrection power. So like Simon, I say these words. When I see him show up and I realize he is holy, I'm not. I say like Simon, go away from me, Jesus. I'm a sinful man. But here's the thing. I'm kind of thinking he will, but I'm hoping he doesn't. And even if he does go away, I'm going to follow him anyway. Because I've never met anyone like him. And even when I get disappointed and I'm all disillusioned, going back to what I know to do, I find him over and over again coming and saying, Jeff, get up. I want you to follow me. I'm going to be done here. 2 minutes, I'll be all done. I brought a cross-section of a log with me today. Any of you know what kind of log this might be? It's an old apple tree. Old apple tree that wasn't making apples anymore. So I cut it down. And if you look at a cross-section of a log, you see rings, right? And each ring represents how much time? 1 year. That tree, it can't help itself. Every year, it makes another ring. Some of those rings are so close together, you'd think it's just one ring. Because the tree didn't grow much that year. Might have been a year drought. Maybe something, you don't know. Other years, all kinds of growth took place. But what the tree does that we might learn from is every year the tree just did again what it did the year before. It just stayed in the game, just kept taking in nutrients, kept doing what it needed to do to keep growing. In some years, the tree maybe looked at itself and said, that was a waste of time. That year, there wasn't anything good that happened that year. But then there comes a year every once in a while where it's, man, I can't believe how much growth happened that year. And so I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking how maybe following Jesus is as simple as just showing up again. And whenever Jesus says, follow me, you just say, yes, sir, I'll do it again. And then tomorrow you do the same thing over and over. And in the end, your life becomes a life that looks like Jesus. Each one of us here, we have within us, connected to Jesus, the potential to turn the world upside down. Or at least Trent's Mill Road. And that's what we're counting on at Meno. See, we're not a big flashy kind of ministry. We're a ministry, a little ministry that not many people know about, tucked away at the end of the road that no one goes, no one finds us because it's the road that the dump is on. That's us. We're a little ministry at the end of the dump road that believes that we can turn the world upside down with Jesus, one life at a time. And I think the same thing is true for each one of us in here. So that's it. I'm going to pray. And Jesus, we're so grateful that you have prepared a life for each one of us to live. And we're so grateful that you come alongside each one of us here in this room at different points, and you've said, hey, you, I want you to follow me. And Lord, I pray that if anyone in this room has not said yes to that invitation, I pray that today they would think long and hard about whether or not now's a good time to say yes to it. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who maybe has said yes to that, but they've lost their way. And they've sort of gotten discouraged, and they've just ended up feeling like that they really don't have what it takes to follow Jesus. And they've just gone back to what they know. Jesus, would you today come to them and just tell them all over again, follow me. And Lord, I want to just close by saying how grateful I am that my following you depends more on you and your invitation than it does on me and my ability. And I thank you for not being disheartened, for always coming back and for always reaffirming, Jeff, you have what it takes. With me, we can do this. Stay with me. Follow me. So I pray that today in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.